Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen declares federal fiscal responsibility irresponsible. Whereas world leaders, yes, the G20, the top 20 economies in the world, are concerned by the growing perception among their populations that G20 nations are being led by, and I quote, elitist morons. And finally, Mike Pence possesses top secret documents at his home. 2023 continues to roll, folks. All these topics and more on the next episode of The Good Fight. I'm your host, Mark Thielman. Stay with us. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of The Good Fight. I mean, wow. We are on week 4 of January, and it is not slowing down. Yes, yours truly, fueled by liquid from a Wokebane coffee mug, forecast the future 4 weeks ago and said that there was no conclusive evidence that would cause 2023 to be, shall we say, more sane or reasonable than 2022. Nope. Pedal to the metal, folks, on crazy. Yes, we are on week 4, and it is rolling. Top story for this week. I want to really keep everybody focused because we are winning this culture war. And I know it doesn't seem like it. I know that there's all kinds of mayhem going on. But the fact that the Republican Congress, one, was able to elect a Speaker of the House, which was a miracle in and of itself, but two, instituted different rules, which is very much changing the game. President Biden said that he will not entertain anything other than a clean bill. Yes, these scripts have been 180 degree flipped. Normally it's the Republicans saying, we want a clean bill. And it's the Democrats putting basically everything under the sun, including the kitchen sink and the earmarks, if you will, of that bill. And they always get a few greedy Republicans to join them so they can say it was a bipartisan thing. So what's interesting is McCarthy is being forced to toe the line when it comes to fiscal responsibility. Why? Because it was one of the concessions that he made in order to get enough Republicans to vote for him. McCarthy rolled out that, hey, he would toe the line with fiscal responsibility. And that has led to something historic. The United States has hit its debt limit yet again. And the Democrats are out saying, well, you know, this is terrible. It's terrible legislation. I mean, after all, we Democrats were the one who passed this rule that says if you're going to raise the debt limit, you got to have an act of Congress to do it. Folks, during the Reagan administration, as the debt ballooned, why? Because Reagan and Tip O'Neill, they compromised. Democrats got their increases in Social Security and other spending programs. Reagan got his military. Now, what resulted from that? I don't know. The destruction of the evil empire of the Soviet Union and freedom breaking out all over the world. However, the Democrats were political, of course, and rolling on into George Bush Sr.'s presidency, they began to harangue and harangue. Of course, that caused the read my lips, no new taxes. And boy, that didn't work out. And every time the Republican Party caves to the insanity of the left, because let's be real, greed is greed. See, we should have known better back then. But it was the Democrats who clamored that we need to have debt limits. Why? Because they wanted to curb the portion of the budget that rolls out into the military spending. And of course, there was bipartisan people that ended up voting for that. And now Democrats are saying, this is a terrible rule. We got to get rid of this rule. So this is what the left doesn't understand about the global monetary system, which is dominated by what's called fiat currency. I've covered this before, but hey, we'll just review real quick. Fiat currency is money that a nation produces. Okay, so in our case, the United States, the U.S. dollar, which is, shall we say, the most dominant currency in the world. But there's others, the German mark, you know, the euro, which is kind of a conglomeration that represents a bunch of European economies. So the British pound, the Chinese yuan, and the Japanese yen. These are some of the big ones. Now, the U.S. dollar is dominant, so it's an exchange rate. Now, this is rudimentary, and I'm not trying to patronize anybody. I just want to start at the very basics, because our friends on the left really don't understand this and why the national debt does matter, which is what these Republicans are trying to say. So when you have a fiat system, that means that the U.S. dollar is not backed by things that are tangible, like, you know, gold and silver. thing is, if you have more gold, you can print more money, and the money is of equal value because the gold backs the dollar. So you can exchange dollars for gold. So Richard Nixon took us off the gold standard. We've now been on what's called a fiat currency. And the thing with fiat currency is it creates a thing called temptation. And Reagan took advantage of this because he became president and he started putting pressure on the Federal Reserve to not print as much money because they kept printing more money because inflation was rolling out of control and the economy was overheated. So unemployment wasn't high enough. We had what was called stagflation. So you had high inflation and high demand and no ability to curb the spending because money was flooding into the system. So Reagan curbed that. And what happened was the value of the dollar increased and inflation started to go down. So as the dollar became more valuable, inflation came under control, and there were a lot of surprised economists. Now, where'd he get the idea? From Milton Friedman, the Nobel Prize winning economist, you know, God rest his soul. But Friedman was the one who said, hey, here's what's causing the inflation. Don't worry, we'll get the economy rolling, and it'll help build the manufacturing sector, which it did, because the value of the dollar slowed a whole bunch of issues like wage growth and cost increases that made business even more expensive to run in the United States as opposed to somewhere else where there wasn't such an inflationary push going on. Now, we roll in from that. Around 82, 83, Reagan was under tremendous criticism from the Democrats because he began with the next round of two-year fiscal budget in 82. The Democrats were just haranguing on him. How dare you? How dare you restrict the money supply? Blah, blah, blah. And of course, the nation was rolling out a new budget and they needed to borrow more money. And that's what created what eventually became the requirement of Congress to raise the debt limit. In other words, we set a limit. Once we hit it, we're not going to spend any more. And the belief was that that would curb things like military spending. And then they could use it as a political wedge to say social programs are more important than military, so we should be spending more on welfare than military. Now, that's a little historic review. And I want people to understand that because it's still going on today, except Reagan broke that by saying we will deficit spend now that inflation is under control. He worked with the Fed under Friedman and Hayek and some of these other ingenious economists to keep inflation anywhere from 1% to 3% and bring interest rates down. Remember when they came down to 10%, people thought they'd died and gone to heaven. That allowed a ton of people to refinance their home loans and pull their equity out. And there was a huge, massive economic boon and prosperity that rolled through the 80s and 90s and into the early 2000s. Now, eventually, that runs itself out. As the deficit grows in relation to the value of the dollar over time, then the party ends. In other words, the purchasing power of a dollar in 2023 is about 60-some-odd percent what it was in 1990. So 200,000 today doesn't go as far as 200,000 when in 1983. In other words, the government continues to print money, even though inflation's out of control, which obviously they've printed way too much money with COVID. So our deficit is now $33 trillion. It's hit the debt limit. Under Barack Obama, it was $18 trillion. Under Trump, it ended up around, $24 trillion. And with COVID and everything under Joe Biden, it's now pushing, $33 trillion. Joe Biden has spent more money than any other president in history. Nice job, Joe. So the beauty of it is that the value of the dollar is declining while prices and inflation, even though they're flattening a little bit, are still incredibly high. And the confidence that people have in the ability of the United States to pay its bills is disconcerting. So now we have a small number of Republicans who are very bright. They understand the situation. They know we've got to get spending under control. And what they're saying is we will raise the debt limit so the government can pay its bills in exchange for reasonable cost cuts on a variety of programs. So the Republicans are talking about cost controls on that 17% discretionary money where nobody loses the benefits promised. Now, it's not being reported that way in the mainstream media, which, my friends, is why we do this show. So that's what the Republicans are talking about. They're not talking about cutting Social Security. They're not talking about cutting Medicare. And Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary. Now, Janet Yellen used to be the chairperson of the Fed. So she used to be like the chief fiscal officer of the United States. She was the one who said, yeah, we'll print some more money, we'll quantitative ease, et cetera, et cetera. She eased during the Obama administration. And this is what makes 2023 so radically amazing. You see, I mean, I can understand Joe Biden not getting it because Joe came out and said,
The debt's not a problem. It's only $500 billion a year.
What Joe doesn't understand is that a large portion of the United States' $33 trillion of debt is amortized over a period of 15, 20, or 30 years, depending on what they're called, treasuries. If you're going to sell new treasuries, or even better, you've been paying the interest on treasuries from the past without really selling or buying down the principal, per se, you have to re-amortize those when they come due, or you've got to pay the whole bill. Well, the United States isn't going to do that. So we have a large portion, I believe it's 16% of our $33 trillion, that's going to be coming up in the next 18 months for re-amortization. Well, the problem with that is that interest rates that we locked in for 30 years at, you know, 1.2% or 0.8% interest are now going to be having to be re-amortized at what is currently 2.8% to 4% interest. Well, Joe, I got news for you. Your $500 billion now becomes $1.1 trillion, and suddenly it's the law of diminishing returns. And that is what these Republicans are trying to stave off. There is a way to do that by cutting spending. That is the way to do it. Now, Janet Yellen came out and echoed in a more coherent manner Joe Biden's comment. She said, well, you see, in this time with the United States' obligations, cutting spending and being fiscally responsible is actually irresponsible. So, Janet Yellen, this is the same woman who said that she didn't understand that inflation wasn't transitory. The same woman who is supposed to be a global expert in global finance is now saying that the government deciding to spend less is actually irresponsible. On the contrary,
the government should be spending more.
It is lunacy because of all people that know better. It should and ought to be Janet Yellen. But that's what she said. Now, good fight. It's important that we get out and we talk to people about this very issue. It's reasonable for Congress to negotiate with Joe Biden for some reasonable, appreciable tax cuts to the tune of hundreds of billions or maybe even $1 trillion. I think it's reasonable. Here's why. Let's take an analogy here just for fun. Let's say you had a teenage kid, 19, he's moved out, and you find out that your kid comes to you and says, hey, I'm having trouble making the interest payments on my credit card. So what advice would you give to your child who, let's say, racked up their credit cards and maxed them out and is now having trouble making just their minimum interest payments each month, not even going down on the principal? Because you can see the analogy, that is what the federal government is doing. Now, if you said, as a parent or guardian, to the child who you care about and love, well, the first thing you're going to need to do is look at making some cuts in spending. You're going to have to start spending less and looking at your income and try not to spend more than you make, at least for the time being, so that you can start to pay these cards down so you can get ahead and you're able to save a little bit, and then you won't need to put everything on the credit card because you can dip into your savings. But that is not what Janet Yellen would say to her child. Nope. Janet Yellen would say, well, I think if you're having trouble making your basic interest payments, it would be irresponsible to stop spending on the credit card. So what you need to do is go get another credit card, or three, and use those cards at zero balance to pay the interest on your other credit cards. And that way, you can stay ahead for the time being, because slowing your spending and stopping the accumulation of more debt would be irresponsible. That is what Janet Yellen would tell her kids. The Global Economic Forum has concluded in Davos, and I'm telling you, it was fun watching all the world's elites fly to Switzerland in their private jets, burning up massive amounts of carbon-emitting fuel, and then landing in Davos. But hey, they could have got into some electric cars and drove the one-hour car ride from the airport in Davos to the actual convention center where the forum was held. But that was not good enough. Yes, they had a valet helicopter. You see, you can't drive an electric car for an hour. Oh, that's so déclassé. I mean, I just flew on my private jet for hours to get here. You know, instead they got on a helicopter and went to the Global Forum. And what did they do? They all got together and said, we're here to save the planet that all the little people are ruining. That's exactly what they said. That's why I drink Wokebane, people. My mind is like tungsten. It's stronger than steel, right? Woke epithets just bounce right off like thick armor on a tank. That's what I'm talking about, huh? You think, what, we're going to send the Ukrainians Abrams tanks? No way. We ought to send them Wokebane coffee mugs. That's what I'm thinking. So the world leaders are all there, and they're all giving value and virtue signaling to everybody. Al Gore sounded like an angry old man, and he looks like hell, by the way. He's still got some hair, though, so we'll give him credit for that. Good work. Good work, Al Gore. But the beauty of it is they all talked about how we must act on climate change. But the funny thing is they were in an echo chamber. And then there was a follow-up survey because, you know, in Europe, the World Economic Forum got a lot more coverage than even here in the United States. So in Europe, there was a survey. And the survey was conducted in all G20 countries. It turns out that the vast majority of regular hardworking folk, you would think it would be socialist-oriented. Nope. They basically strongly agree that trust in world leadership has been dramatically eroded in the last 4 years. That was the question. And I was like, 67% of people surveyed either agreed or strongly agreed with that answer. And that has got the global elites really concerned. Matter of fact, it is probably what's triggered the old yelling at Elon Musk for allowing both sides of the climate debate to go viral on Twitter. So the liberals and the elites, the progressives, communists, I should say, they are losing their ever-loving minds. Yes, the pendulum is swinging, good fight, all because of your loyalty and dedication to this show and your ability to get out there and reach out to our loved ones on the communist, Marxist, progressive left and to try to bring them back to reason and sanity. Because you know what? We have a good country here in the United States. And we need to stay good. Because I assure you, whatever our problems are in America, without America, the world is going to go full authoritarian. And if you don't believe me, look at the crazy in China. Oh man, what a mess with the COVID thing. Now, the Chinese, sticking with the make 2023 crazier than 22, yes, they're now telling people to hurry up and get COVID. Why? Because they are losing hundreds of billions of dollars in future investment. People are like, you know what, China, we're done. We're going to start investing in Vietnam. Big old deal. Janet Yellen herself is over in Africa right now saying, look, we're going to start putting money into the African continent in places because we're going to get away from Chinese communist one-party crazy. Now, what's scary is Janet Yellen is probably a communist herself, and she's probably, you know, crying and gnashing her teeth as we speak. But the writing's on the wall, and the elitists know it. By the way, that was the takeaway from the Global Economic Forum is the elites, they harangued on their crazy 2030 agenda while recognizing that it ain't working. So that's the beautiful takeaway. We are winning this fight. Now, Mike Pence, former vice president under President Trump, you know, he was interviewed after Trump's house was invaded by the FBI in Mar-a-Lago. And this was the best because I remember him. He was asked, have you ever taken home top secret documents to your house, Mr. Pence? And Mike Pence, you know, he like modulated on the thing. He's like, well, no, I have not. Liar! It turns out Mike Pence is a liar! Neither he nor President Biden were the president. Only the president can declassify documents, which was Trump's defense. And in my opinion, Trump at least has a defense. Guess who does not have a defense? Joe Biden has no defense. And now Mike Pence has no defense. Now, wonder why Mike would volunteer to have his lawyers go and look at the documents and then volunteer to break this story. Well, because Trump and Pence have been fighting it out, man. You don't think that there's some division going on? Because Pence, from sources that I will not disclose, but very credible, knew about the Democrats' push to harangue Trump, including searching his home regarding classified documents. And I'm telling you, good fight, paybacks are painful, but the paybacks are rolling. So now Mike Pence, rather than have it break like and leak out like Joe Biden, Pence is a little smarter. And he thought, well, it's bad news, but we will break the bad news and then we'll roll from there. So the question that I have is it possible that, shall we say, some massive reform within the federal government is needed? And that we need to get back to electing one kind of leader. Here's what matters, is if they believe that government exists to benefit and serve the American people. And they believe in things like national security, and they believe in a thing called accountability, and they don't exempt themselves from that accountability. It's a quality that we have to get back to that has been summarily attacked and canceled, because what we have is a bunch of leaders in Washington, D.C. who have done nothing but, shall we say, redefine the term hypocrisy. It's not even about Republican and Democrat at this point. Although I would argue, when are they going to search Obama? Because it has already been known that Obama has classified documents that he took out of the White House. You mark my words. It's going to go on down the line. There was a survey about Joe Biden. Oh, God, it was great. In which they surveyed just random people, but random Democrats were surveyed. And you're going to love this. It turns out that the majority of Democrats believe that what Trump did was wrong and worse than what Biden did. However, there's still hope for this country. There's still hope that our loved ones on the left have enough reason and sanity, because you're going to love the follow-up. The follow-up question was, do you think what Joe Biden did was wrong? Oh my gosh, 87% of Democrats surveyed said that what Biden did was also wrong. And it may not have been as bad in their minds or their perception as what Trump did, but wrong is wrong. I mean, it's like this. It's like a guy goes and robs a bank, and then he gets caught, and then he says, yeah, but that other guy stole more money than I did when he robbed his bank. That's literally what's going on. Well, listen, good fight. I'm going to round this up today. It's been another great week. I'm in 2023. It just keeps on rolling. I'm telling you, rolling away. We've got a lot going on. Next episode, next week, I'm going to give some serious updates. We'll be refiling our amended case in the Oregon election integrity lawsuit, forcing the state to start all over again. I can't wait. And where did I learn such a thing? Well, I learned it from my friends on the left. Yes, I'm treating them the way they treat us. It's not eye for an eye, folks. It's because I care about equity. I mean, after all, things should be equitable. And there's only one language our communist Marxists understand, and that is force. So we're going to apply some intellectual force, and we're going to force the government to start all over. And it's going to be fun, and I'll give you all the details and highlights next week. Well, listen, God bless everybody. Thanks for listening, and thank you for going to the InTheGoodFight.org website and ordering up your merch, t-shirts, woke pain coffee mugs, steins. Get them ordered today. God bless you, folks. Until next time. Can we set aside our differences? Can we set each other free to pursue our lives in happiness, explore our liberty, a life of grace, peace, and mercy, where truth and beauty are held dear? We have a common enemy, spirits of hate and fear.